You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd. New York City continues to experience historic reductions in crime pretty much since the mid-1990s. It's continued in recent years, even as the pendulum has begun to swing the other way in major cities like Chicago, Baltimore, St. Louis, and Dallas. But one thing has changed in New York: the strategies police are using to fight crime. The days of zero tolerance and stop and frisk are largely behind us, replaced with new approaches like neighborhood policing and precision policing. Joining us now to help us understand the statistics and the new strategies is Dermot Shea, the NYPD's Chief of Crime Control Strategies. And that's a new job title, by the way. Congratulations, Chief.
Thank you very much, Jamie.
And thank you for being with us. So first, let's talk about the most recent statistics. NYPD reported that overall crime ticked down in January by 0.2%. That's compared to the same month last year. It really doesn't sound like a lot. So how significant is it really?
You're right. I think people in New York City in particular have become accustomed to hearing crime trending down. But it's important to step back sometimes and look at, when you look at last year, for example. Last year, we recorded 998 shooting incidents in New York City, which is a lot. And my goal is to push it dramatically lower. But we had never before been under 1,100 shooting incidents. It was a dramatic drop. When you look at overall index crime in New York City, that's the major crimes. It includes rape, it includes robbery, assault, stolen vehicles. When you look at those major metrics, all-time low in New York City in 2016.
Now, you use that expression, index crimes, and one that you mentioned, of course, is rape.
Yep.
I noticed that rape is one violent crime that went up around 9%. Do we know why?
It's a difficult story, in that we are trying to, on one hand, get outreach and try to get more reports in. So trying to nail down, is there more rapes occurring? Is there more reporting of rapes occurring? Very difficult. Right now, about 40% of the rapes that we record are known to in the fact that they're members of the same family in some way. Terrible statistics. It's a good thing that we are getting people to come forward and report these crimes, but rape in general remains right at the top of one of the things that we want to really have a positive impact on knocking down.
Let's talk about neighborhood policing. It's the signature law enforcement initiative of the de Blasio administration, but the idea has been around for a long time. And, you know, critics sometimes describe it as police doing social work. What's the difference between neighborhood policing now, the way you're doing it, and the way it's been done in the past?
A major difference of the NCO program that's going on right now is that nothing exists in a vacuum for us here in New York City. So it's not neighborhood policing and 100 eggs are in one basket and that's all we're doing. We are at the same time more efficient than ever in identifying who is committing crimes in New York City. And this delves into the precision policing. The level of crime that's been reduced now and how we've isolated and been able to surgically, this is precision policing, know who the bad operators are in a particular block, building, development, as opposed to 10 years ago maybe just flooding an area with officers and the crime would be suppressed. But at what cost?
There is a concern that certain communities will be targeted, that you could take out the word precision and put in the word targeting, and especially with gang enforcement in particular. So we're talking largely young Black and Latino men. How do we know that the strategy isn't being done in a discriminatory way that precisely targets those communities?
I think that's our responsibility to communicate better what we're doing. And I think we have. When we take a case down now, when we lock up, whether it's 10 individuals or 20 in an area, we now hold meetings afterwards with the affected community, with residents of the block, and we tell them, this is who we arrested, this is the charges, this is why we did it, and now we're not going away. We're trying to build on that.
Let me finish by asking you about the Southeast Bronx, the 43rd precinct.
Yep.
You've had neighborhood policing, I think, since last spring. Tell us a little bit about how neighborhood policing has been working there, precision policing, if that's applicable. I think grand larceny is down by a third, robberies cut in half. How has neighborhood policing and precision policing contributed to those declines in that part of the city?
Again, this is a perfect example of it's not all your eggs in one basket. When you look at the balance between directed enforcement to specific individuals that were involved in some gun violence, particularly around narcotics and gangs in the 43rd precinct, and then the existing neighborhood policing, getting information, meeting the community, building the trust, supplying at times investigators with information because people are more willing. I think we have made great improvements in the last 3 years on how we collect information, how we utilize the information, disseminate it, all to do with precision policing. But no one is ever going to know, no officer that I have is ever going to know as much as the store owner on the corner, the woman that lives in the third floor and looks out the window every day. And just bridging that gap, and I think we have. 43rd Precinct is a success story.
Dermot Shea is the New York Police Department's Chief for Crime Control Strategies. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.